You're listening to Crosstalk, Season 1, Episode 4.
At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, Jesus.
Welcome to Crosstalk, where faith becomes life by equipping you for ministry in your family, workplace, and church. I'm Jason Sism. I'm going to be your host. Have you ever wondered why life gets busy? And I think it's really easy for our lives to get busy with stuff. And in our busyness, we tend to ignore spending quality time with God and our family because our lives tend to be so hectic. We're always moving from here to there. Our boss is always wanting A, B, C projects done. We always have this to do. We always have that to do. We got to make sure we have time for our family. We got to make sure we have time for church. We got to make sure we have time for our finances and playtime. And life tends to get hectic, and we don't know what's going on. And half the time, we meet ourselves coming back. And the thing is, we have to understand what our priorities are. And that's what I want to talk about today is priorities. I want to talk about what discipline is, and I also want to talk about how do we organize our life in a very hectic world. See, we've all heard that God needs to be the number one priority in our lives. And while this is true, he must not remain a priority. He has to become our entire life. He has to become our entire world. And that is the big difference between being a Christ follower and somebody who says, well, I put God first because I go to church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. And so how do we put God first? How do we make God a priority in our life? And how do we structure our lives in a way that's going to make sense for us to follow, but also for our families to realize that God is priority in our life and that they are a priority in our life. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading out of the NIV. I'm going to read from verse 3 to 11. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. I'm reading out of Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 3 to 11. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My sons, do not take light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So what is discipline? Well, Webster's Dictionary defines discipline as this: train oneself to do something in a controlled and habitual way, a system of rules of conduct, training, teaching, instruction, regulation, direction, order, authority, rule, strictness, a firm hand, and routine. I think we get the point. A lot of times we think discipline is that spanking on our butt where we did something wrong and we have to be disciplined for it. Well, Webster's and the dictionary calls discipline, something that is controlled, a habitual way or a system of rules of conduct. It's training, it's teaching, it's an instruction. And so now that we have that new definition implanted in our minds of what discipline is, we can now begin to understand that discipline is more than just a spanking, because that is punishment. And punishment happens because we have failed in our discipline. Does that make sense? Let me put it this way. Your father told you to go clean your room. Jason, go clean your room, was the instruction that was given to me. Well, the discipline in that is, I want you to be responsible. I want you to take initiative, and I want you to learn a good work ethic. That is a rule or a strictness, a firm hand of routine, a discipline, so to speak, that I have to have in my daily life to make sure that my life is actually functional. And when we fail to do what our fathers or our parents have told us, what did they do? They bent us over their knee, they gave us a swift spanking on our butt, and then they sent us on our way to go try again. And so the chastening happens when we fail in the discipline. You see, in order for us to have ordered lives, we can't live lives of doing whatever we please. Because if we don't order our lives fall risk to having a life without any order. We have to be controlled. We have to know what we're doing. We have to be disciplined in every single area of our life. Now, this is something that I had to start learning on my own. I had a townhouse in the southern part of the Twin Cities, and before I met my wife, I was not very organized. I was not very disciplined in housekeeping. And if somebody were to come over when I wasn't expecting them, they would actually find what I would call a national disaster on their hands. And I felt really bad because I ended up losing my home to foreclosure. And that was a whole nother lesson that I learned about being disciplined in finances. But my parents, they went into my townhouse while my wife and I were on our honeymoon, and they moved me out. And I felt really bad because they went into a very dysfunctional place, a place that had no order. I tried to go through stuff before anybody was going to help me move, and I made the place even worse of a mess because I had papers everywhere, stuff I'd never filed, stuff I'd never dealt with, and they had to go into that, and I felt like I had failed my father in this regards because he taught me to be respectful for the things that I have. And I felt that I wasn't very respectful to the things that I had by leaving the house, the disaster I left it. And so that was a really, really hard lesson for me to learn. And it was a lesson that I didn't want to learn, but I had to learn. So if we don't have order in our lives, we fall risk to having life without order. But also, we can either have our lives control us, or we can control our lives. Well, I was a person where I was having life control me. I was letting things dictate what I did. Somebody was coming over, well, it gave me an opportunity to get organized and clean up and make the place presentable. Instead of living in a home that was presentable all the time. And this is something my wife has taught me, and it's a lesson that I've had to learn since being married, is living a life of control. Having that control, having that tenacity to say, okay, I'm going to do what I want for a time, but it's structured time to do what I want. You see the difference? You can either do what you want and you waste the whole day away by doing whatever you want, or you can have structured time to do what you want, and you are still maintaining an element of productivity in your life. And I think this is what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get at here, is we can either have sin rule our lives, or we can control sin by living a life of righteousness and dealing with it and taking the discipline that Jesus taught us and saying, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Forgive me my trespasses, because I've forgiven other people their trespasses, and I'm asking for your forgiveness because I know that I was wrong. And so we can either have lives control us, or we can control our lives. Number two, so how do I now have, now that I know what discipline is, how do I have an organized life? Have you ever tried to put a to-do list together? It's probably one of the hardest things for people to do, especially somebody like me. But it's a task that I've actually had to learn to do, something that I had to do to take control, take back control of my life, because things were getting out of hand, and I didn't know what I was to be doing. And so projects at work would fall through the crack, or things that were asked of me would blip off of the radar because I didn't write it down. And so now what I do is every day I sit down with a task management system, and I use a task management system called Productive. I'll have the link in my notes. And this helps me have my daily routines already scheduled out. So my wake-up time to when I'm to eat, when I'm to shower, my devotional time. I structure all of that into my day. And then I go through all of the tasks that are required of me over the next week and over the course of the day that I have to do. But then I take one or two of those tasks, not my daily routines or my daily rituals, as I call them, but one or two tasks that I have to accomplish that day. And these are the things that I put a red star next to within the program, and I say, these have to get done. If I don't accomplish anything else today, these have to get done. And so it's something I've had to learn to make myself productive. The other thing that I've done to actually make myself productive is I use it's a journaling program, and I'm getting better at using it. I still don't use it every day, but I'm getting better at using it. It's a journaling program called Day One. And I put together a template that I use in this journal, and basically I ask myself some questions. What did I do yesterday and the lessons I learned? How am I feeling right now? And today, what do I have to accomplish? What are the things that I have to do today? And if I don't accomplish anything else, what's the one thing I have to do today? And so these programs have helped me become more structured in my thinking, and it has allowed me to become more productive at the office and at home. One of the other things that I do that has helped people understand how to be productive is in the area of email. Now, when I tell people I have 4 email accounts, I usually get really big eyeballs staring back at me. And I've been asked the question, how do you handle 4 different emails? My usual response is, very carefully. But seriously, what I do is every morning I sit down at the computer and I open my emails. And if it's a Monday morning, I look at my church email, and everything that's come in over the weekend, I go through systematically every single email. If I can delete it right away, I delete it. If I can apply a task to it, I apply a task to it, whether it's for to do today, whether it's for tomorrow, or whether it's for later in the week or next week. I assign a task to it. If it's an email that I can respond to immediately, I hit reply, and I send my reply. And then I mark a follow-up request that I have to follow up with that person to make sure that they got the email and that they're following through with whatever they're supposed to follow through with. And I look at all of my blogs or articles that come into my inbox that I have subscribed to that I like to read, and I just go through it, and if anything catches my eye, I save it, and I mark it to read later, and I just keep working down my list. I delete what needs to be deleted. Once I've accomplished all of the emails in my inbox, I highlight them all, and I move them over to a processed folder. That way, it's out of my inbox. I don't have to think about it. If I need to search for it later, I can then go to my process folder and run a search for it. But at least it's out of my inbox, and my inbox is clean. Then I go to my junk mail folder. I look at everything in my junk mail folder. I usually don't open them unless it's something of importance. And then I highlight and delete them all. That way, I don't have to think about them, and they're gone off of the radar. And I do that same process with all of my emails. And it has helped me become productive, and it's helped me keep my inbox for my email in order. And I only go through my emails as a general rule once a day unless I'm expecting a response back during the day. So if I'm writing, if I'm working on a project, if I'm recording a podcast like today, I make sure that all of my email notifications are turned off. I take my email offline. That way I can focus my attention on what I need to focus my attention on. That way I'm not being bogged down and bothered by beeps and buzzings coming in all the time. You see, when we put together to-do lists, when we work hard at becoming organized, our lives are easier. So in other words, for us to begin to take control back of our lives, we need to be placing things in an order of priority. And if we don't, life gets really, really hard. Hebrews 12:11 says this, "No chastening, discipline, seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been what? Who've been trained by it." See, it's not going to go well with us if we don't live a life of discipline. And in order for us to live a life of discipline, we need to order our life in the order of importance, in the order it comes to us. So the first thing we need to do is we need to make sure that Jesus is our main priority. He is the central focal point of our lives. Our lives will fall apart if He isn't. We need to take the priority of putting God at the very center, at the very core of our whole life. He needs to be the center of our family. He needs to be center of our work. He needs to be the center of our finances, our friends, our ministry. Whatever it is, He needs to be the center of it. Everything else is secondary next to God. So how do we begin putting God at the center of our life? One, it takes discipline. It takes making a priority of what we have to do to get into that mindset and get into that relationship with God. For me, I have to do it every morning. And so usually before I take a shower, before I eat breakfast, I take my cup of coffee, I have a chair in my formal living room that I sit down in, and I read the scripture. And if I'm running short on time in the morning, I pick up a devotional book that I have, and I'll read one of the devotionals in it, and then I will take that and I'll meditate on that as I'm getting ready. And then while I'm on my way to work, see, driving is great, and if you take the bus, that's great, you can do that too, but driving is great because I can actually pray out loud in the car while I'm driving and allow my thoughts to just meditate on my relationship with God. I give Him thanks for what I need to thank Him for. I ask for His help in areas of my life and structuring my mind so that I can better serve Him. I ask Him to take priority in my relationship with my wife. I ask Him to take priority in my finances. I ask Him to take priority in my friends. I ask Him to take priority in the ministry that I work in. and my ministry here at jbcism.com. And the list goes on and on. So I have to have God first and foremost, because when that happens, everything falls into place. But the thing is, for me, I have to structure it in. Otherwise, life just gets in the way, and I go a few days, and then I realize I haven't prayed to God, I haven't talked to God, I haven't read the scriptures. And so I have to consciously make the effort to prioritize my day so that I can have room for God. Because otherwise, if we allow life to control us, we push God completely out of the equation. You see, discipline is so incredibly hard for us to do. For us as humans, it doesn't come naturally. We like to just sit at home on our days off and watch TV. Next thing you know, the entire day has gone by and you haven't done anything productive. You haven't prayed. You haven't read scripture. You haven't put God first. You see, yet the Bible teaches for us to chasten our lives that we got to let God chasten our lives. You see, if God doesn't chasten us, our lives will not be everything He wants it to be. You see, God has so much in store for you. He has so much in store for me. But the thing is, if we allow life to control us, God takes the back seat. And I don't know about you, but I don't want God to take the back seat. And so we need discipline in our lives because it helps shape our life. It helps shape our day. Hebrews 13:6 says, "The Lord is my helper." You see, God wants to help us in every area of our lives. And in order for us to know what our purpose is, we need to have our priorities in order. Because if our priorities aren't in order, we're going to be like a wave tossed to and fro, and we're not going to have any particular direction in our lives. You see, God wants us to be everything to Him. And for me, that means that I have to place God above everything in my life. God has to be above everything in my life. But the second most important thing that we need to have at the center of our life and above everything is our family. If our family does not have access to us, we're failing them. You see, while I'm writing, while I'm doing podcasting, while I'm at work, as a general rule, I have my email turned off. That way I'm not being bothered by the beeps and the noises. But I don't turn my phone off because I want my wife to know that she has complete access to me. That no matter what I'm doing, no matter where I'm at, if I'm in a meeting or if I'm on the computer or if I'm on a project or if I am recording a podcast like this one, I want my wife to know that she has complete, full access to me. And she can call me, interrupt me, email me, or text me at any point, and I will stop everything I'm doing, and I will respond. You see, I think this is the problem a lot of ministers fall into, is they put God, church, family. But really, it's family. And then ministry. But God has to be the center of everything. That is what it means to live a life of priority. Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. I pray that this episode has been a blessing to you. And if it has, I encourage you to email it to a friend. Invite them to listen to it. Because there is nothing more powerful than in giving somebody the Word of God. If you would like more information about me, this blog, or podcast, go to www.jbcism.com for more information. And until next time, you've been listening to Crosstalk with Jason Sims.